For this opportunity that we have. I want to thank you for your presence. I want to thank you for the word that you are bringing to us. Father, I ask that you prepare our hearts, that we might be able to hear you. Father, I ask that you take control of my mind, my emotions. Father, that they would be centered upon you, that my desire, Father, would be to exalt you, to give you a position or a place of preeminence. Father, I pray for the ears of the hearers. But we know it's not in the words that we speak, but it is in the unction, the anointing.
That's right.
It is in the Spirit of God that ministers to both those that are of age and those that are young. And Father, we pray for your divine intervention.
Yes.
We pray for your divine presence, that you might work all things after the counsel of your will.
Amen.
Father, I believe that we have come with one purpose.
Yes.
And that purpose is to hear you.
Oh,
God. Hallelujah. To hear your word. Have it quicken our hearts, to quicken our souls. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. You are awake, right?
Amen.
You're not distracted? You're not thinking about other things? Huh? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I can't hear you. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Very glad to be with you this morning. Very glad to be here. And somewhere near London, I think. Praise God. At least I think we're in the UK, right?
Amen.
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 Praise God. I think we're living in a very exciting time. In fact, I think I have lived as long as I have lived to get to where I am at this particular point for this particular reason and for this particular time.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I thank God that I'm still here and able to witness it with my eyes, witness it with my ears, but most importantly, witness it with my heart and my spirit. You know, the Lord called me many, many years ago, and He brought a word into my life that changed it so absolutely, positively changed it, irrevocably changed it, where it would never, never, ever, ever be the same again. Hallelujah. And we heard things so many years ago. We saw things in the Spirit so many years ago concerning the end time. And I can remember as a young man, sitting on the edge of my chair in my mother's living room, hearing this word of God and His desire to have sons.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I was a very young man, recently married. I had some small children. And thinking I'm a man in my own right, that I learned something, that, you know, what I had was insignificant. What I had or what was around me or what I was involved in was totally, absolutely insignificant with the reality of what I was hearing with my ear.
That's right. Yes.
Hallelujah. And, you know, for 2 weeks, we were meeting every day, every night with in my mother's home. We'd come together about, get off work about 5:30. I'd rush home, grab my Bible, grab my family, run over to the house, the mother's house, and we'd come in about 6 o'clock, and we'd sit down, and we'd begin to talk about the Lord, and as people begin to come, and the message begin to flow, and the Word of God just begin to go out. Hallelujah. And we would sit there from about 7 to about 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. And then when the meeting was done, there were not all of us, but some of us would stick around and talk to the brother about the things that he was saying.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And our ears would burn. Our hearts would burn.
Hallelujah.
And I didn't know it at the time of the fire that God was igniting in my soul. Hallelujah. But God was not just burning my ears and burning my heart. He was lighting a fire inside of the midst of me. Hallelujah. That would give me the reality of God and push me and push me and push me and push me to obtain the reality of what it was that this man was telling us was available in the Word of God. Hallelujah. And I think many of you have probably had a similar experience. If you have not, then you need it. And you need to go to God and ask Him to give it to you. Be careful what you ask God. Because God's liable to give it to you. Especially if it's what He wants you to have. But when He gives it to you, it comes with something that is called tribulation. Hallelujah. Because if you want to come into the kingdom of God, you have to come in through tribulation. Hallelujah. You know, tribulation, I think, is somewhat can be compared to the position of birthing and the experience of a woman as she is bringing forth that child. Hallelujah. And as that child comes forth with through great, sometimes great suffering and great agony. And not all birthings are the same. Some are easy, some are not quite so easy, but some of them are very difficult. Hallelujah. Depending upon the persons involved and the mechanics of their body. I'm not a doctor, I can't tell you. I can just understand the shrieks and the yells and the pain of the things that are happening with regards to the thing that is coming forth. Hallelujah. And it's not much different for us in the spirit. It's not much different for us in the aspect of coming in to the reality of what it is that God wants to give us. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I'm very excited. I'm very excited to be here. And I'm very excited about the time frame that I am living in. There's not many of us left. Have you ever thought about that, George? Hallelujah. There's not many of us left of the original contingent of people who were beginning to move with this word into the different parts of the world. If you have your Bibles, praise the Lord. You might want to open them. I want to read to you, hallelujah, out of Matthew. And it's going to be Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Praise God. I believe the theme of this conference was supposed to be tabernacle, and I'm sure that it will be. It just takes me a while to get there. Praise the Lord. And I hope you have the tenacity to persevere.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I mean, I hope you have the spiritual strength to persevere. Hallelujah. Chapter 22, verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them, again by parables, and he said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made marriage for his son, and he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Hallelujah. Now this is not just a story. This is not just something that Jesus was talking about in the time that he was talking to his disciples and those that were gathering around him. This is a story that is apropos to you and I. This story is you and I. It's all about us. Not about them, it's all about us. Hallelujah. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. And they would not come. I recently had an experience that I want to share with you that somewhat kind of illustrates and demonstrates something of this, of the nature of this particular verse. We were recently traveling in Africa. We were going to Uganda. Then we were scheduled to go from Uganda via Kenya to Malawi, and then from Malawi back to Nairobi. And we had all of our plans made. Everything was set. We had our tickets bought. Everything was, and we were in the midst of the trip. And then all of a sudden, out of it, we get up one morning, get our bags packed to go to Malawi. We go down to the airport and we find out that one of the party could not go into Malawi because of the visa situation. And it wasn't as though we did not check. It was not as though that we did not make preparation. So don't please don't think it was laziness or slothfulness on our part and not doing what we needed to do to find out if we could get in. We did everything that we could possibly do to find out if we could get in, and we were told that we would have no problem. Hallelujah. But they have recently changed the laws there. And because of those changes, some of us who were in the party could not get into the Malawi. And so they were not going to allow us to go to Malawi. Well, of course, with Kenya, we didn't have that problem. Kenya is open to anybody. And so we just went to Kenya. But now, I don't know about you, but I have been traveling for many years. And it seems like I know airlines and their theology or their thinking concerning your paying them money to buy their ticket. Has anybody found them very willing to give the money back? You have to fight for it sometimes. Hallelujah. And it's not only that, but also, how often do you get your ticket changed? And is it free? Is it without cost? Because if you can't go or complete your journey, then you have to change your original ticket for an earlier date of departure. All of these things were things that were going through our minds and we were having to think about and deal with it. But in the midst of all of it, God expected us to hear Him. Hallelujah. So our first step was getting to Nairobi. So we got to Nairobi. Praise the Lord. The next step was to find out what it is that we needed to do and how we were going to do it. Can we continue our journey on to Malawi? Can we do something to fix it? Well, it was unfixable. Hallelujah. There would be no way in the time frame that we could do what we needed to do. Not to mention, there was no embassy, right? And there's no embassy for Malawi in Nairobi. So everything would have to be done via mail or something of that nature, and we only had a certain amount of time. Now, we were scheduled to be in Nairobi a week later. Meetings had been set. You know how it is. You arrange these meetings, right? Hallelujah. How easy is it for you to change them? How easy is it for you to adjust your schedule concerning the aspect of what it is that you have already planned to do and made that time frame? For it. Not easy, is it? Sometimes you don't even do it. You just throw up your hand and say, "Whoop! That's out of the question. I can't do it." Hallelujah. But what if it's gone? What if it's gone? What if it's gone? Hallelujah. And I have to tell you that God changed our schedule. God changed our schedule. And it's not like not really so much like here in Europe as far as transportation is concerned, you know. People have to catch buses and they have to do different taxi type things and they have to come long distances and all of that. Praise God. It's not so easy for people to make their change, but God did not. I don't know if He took it into consideration or not, or if He did it on purpose to see what these different people would do that would be involved in it. Hello? Are you listening to me?
Yes.
I'm talking about an invitation that God is sending out.
Oh my God.
Do you understand? Hallelujah. I'm talking about an invitation that God is sending to us in the midst of our busyness. Hallelujah. So that the hall was rented and all of the things were planned and people were informed, but well, the only problem was we were a week early. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there was something the Lord spoke to me, not just for the situation I was involved in, but also for me. Because he reiterated something to me as we were sitting there, standing there at the desk, talking to this lady there at the Nairobi airport about our tickets and so forth and so on and what it was we can do. The Lord said to me, "You are drinking the water." Did you hear me?
Yeah, remember.
He told me, "You are drinking the water." What he's saying is to me, how will I respond?
Right.
Will I get angry at them for not doing what I want them to do? Will I get angry with them because they are not functioning or moving in accordance and because I got wrong information? Am I going to get irritated with them? Am I going to be harsh with them? What am I going to do? How am I going to respond? And what am I going to do about my own situation? My ticket to Malawi. Huh? It cost me big bucks. For me, it cost me big bucks. Hallelujah. And I know airlines. Once they get your money, they don't want to give it back to you. Hallelujah. They don't. No matter what, if it's their fault or not. Now, you know, I can sit there and say, it's your fault, your fault, your fault. He says, I'm sorry, I'm keeping it. And how is it easy to get your ticket changed? You know, one time I went down to get my ticket changed and they wanted to charge me a whole new ticket.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. They wanted to charge me a whole new ticket.
Yeah.
Huh? To change. Yes, to change it. And I said, what about this $250 change fee? He said, that doesn't apply to you. So I'm thinking all of these things. What are we going to do? How am I going to get out? I'm going to be stuck here for 2 years. Brethren, Kenya is not my most favorite place to be. I go there because God tells me to go there. I don't go there because I want to go there. Hallelujah. I'm just being honest with you. And I told them that too, by the way. Hallelujah. But the fact of the matter was, I'm thinking all of these things, and yet God's saying to me, you are at the drinking of the water.
My God.
So how am I going to drink it? It is a first right way, you know. And it's not something that I'm accustomed to. It's not something that I normally do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes when I'm in a place that's foreign to me, and they've got all this fancy stuff on the table, and you don't know which fork to use, which knife to use, or how you should hold your plate, or even how you should hold your mouth. Huh? So I watch other people, you know. And sometimes they don't use utensils at all. They just use their fingers. And I don't know about you. You know, do you know how much training I have had not to use my fingers when I eat my food? Do you know how much instruction I have given to my children? Hallelujah. Over the years, not to eat their food with their fingers. I said, that's what you got a knife and a fork for. Hallelujah. And you know, I found out something else. It's not so easy to eat food with your fingers. I can keep food better on a spoon or a fork than I can in my hand. Hallelujah. As it goes from my plate to my mouth, it goes all over the floor, all over the front of me, and a little bit gets into my mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All of these things are pertinent to hearing God. All of these things are pertinent to the hour that we live in. All of these things are pertinent to the word that you and I have heard. Because you have heard a word that is different from any other word that anybody has ever heard anyway. And that word was given to you at a particular time for a particular purpose. And it was to do a particular thing in your life so that you and I could be ready at that particular time when it would be activated. Hallelujah. You know, in the things that pertain to espionage, they train people and they put them inside of a society. There's a term they call them sleepers. Are you familiar with the term? Have you heard it? They meld, they merge, they go to the grocery store with you, they say they live by you, your kids play with their kids, and all those things. But they have they have a dream, they have a mission, they have a purpose, they have a reason that they are there in that environment with you. And there comes a word to them that activates it. Hallelujah. Now, let's take it off of the negative and put it into the positive realm. There was a word that was given to you. There was a word that was given to me. And that word had a specific reason. That word had a specific purpose. That word had a specific destiny. It had a specific goal that was going to bring you to a particular place at a particular time. Hallelujah. But unlike the word on the dark side of things, this word, in that they have no choice, because they are aware of the consequences and they are aware of the retribution that will come to them if they do not obey. Hallelujah. But it's really not so much that way with you and I. Hallelujah. Because it's not a gospel of you must and you have to. Did you hear me? It's not a gospel of you must and you have to. It is a gospel of will you? Did you hear me? Will you? Will you participate? Will you allow yourself to be activated? Will you allow the circumstances around you, hallelujah, to hinder you, or will you push them aside? Hallelujah. You know, these people all had things. They were all in a position or a place of living. They had things that they were involved in. They had life that was going on around them. They had families. They had jobs. They had houses and bills to pay. They had food to put on the table. And yet God was expecting them to respond by putting all of that aside. They may have even had plans on the day that the feast was going to happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, you never know the blessing of it is in the aspect of hearing and obeying God. You know, you can never make a decision on the basis of your external environment. No matter how demanding it is, no matter how pushing it is, no matter how many responsibilities that you have, you can never make a decision on an external basis of circumstances that make you decide to do or not to do. What you need is a word from God.
Yes.
Personally, individually, a word from God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You need to have that position or that place of fellowship and relationship with Him.
Yes.
That you are able to hear clearly.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And it's not going to be an individual thing. And it isn't that you are going to reason your way in it or out of it. Hallelujah. You know, it used to be when a conference was being held that I am in some manner or way involved in, whether by invitation or because of my position of responsibility, my thought was, I have to always go unless I hear no. Because I know what God does in this forum. God does something in this forum He will not do in your position of personal relationship with Him or in the position of your personal fellowship with a collective body of people in a collective place. And if you don't think God will not send you out somewhere miles and miles and inconvenience you for you to get there, you're mistaken. Hallelujah. You're mistaken. Hallelujah. You are mistaken because there is something that God is trying to demonstrate of His, first of all, of His position or His place, of His care and oversight of you. And there is something that He wants to demonstrate that comes from within you in your position of participation with Him. Are you willing to manifest that willingness to Him? Hallelujah. And it says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, verse 2, which made a marriage for his son. He sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Hallelujah. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He comes, he tells you, he tries to entice you. Hallelujah. Tells you all of the good things. Tells you of all of the things that are waiting for you there. Hallelujah. My goodness, God comes to us and he speaks to us in our personal situation. He does such marvelous things concerning the provisions and the things that he gives us that gives us the ability to function. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But they made light of it and went their ways out, yes, one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the raiment took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We are presently living in an arena of time when you and I are hearing or receiving the reality of what this scripture is talking about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you would turn your Bibles again, I pray, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to go over into Matthew 24. But before I do that, I want to share with you a thought concerning, we are a particular, peculiar people. And we have been called for a particular and a peculiar purpose. Hallelujah. I personally do not believe that we as a people realize the jeopardy that we are in. We become smug and arrogant in what we know.
Jesus.
We feel because of a revelation that we have had or that we have received, that we will be in some way or some manner outside of that type of tribulation and trouble that is coming. Hallelujah. You know, and it isn't that the sons of God escaped the tribulation. Do you know that? They're in the midst of it.
Yeah.
And for some, and to some extent, they're the reason for it.
Yeah.
But the brunt of the tribulation comes against them.
Yes.
Because of who and what they are.
That's right.
Now, you're not only going to suffer with the rest of the environment that you're in because of the shortage of food, the shortage of this, wars and rumors of wars and things going on, hallelujah, but you're going to be persecuted also because you're going to be considered the source of the problem.
That's right.
Did you know that? You're going to be considered the source of the problem. And the source of the problem is, get rid of the source, you get rid of the problem.
Mm.
So they don't want to get rid of you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. When it says that the two witness company ministered in sackcloth and ashes, I don't know what it says ashes, because sackcloth usually comes with ashes. Hallelujah. Have you ever put on the sackcloth? Have you ever put on burlap? Have you ever put it on? Put it on. Wear it for a day. Just one day. Just wear it for one day.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. It sometimes your skin reacts to it.
Yeah.
You break out in a rash and you itch. And it's irritating. And sometimes it can become infected even.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. It is not a good situation. It's not a comfortable position to be in. Hallelujah. We are so prosperous. We are so comfortable in our living. Let's just let the lights go off, right? Hallelujah. Your phone don't work. You call somebody, it don't work. It don't work. You can't get in touch with somebody. You know how much trouble I go to make sure I'm in touch with everybody all the time? Huh? Of course, you probably don't have that much trouble with yours, right? You know, you're not necessary to rely on it. Do you know how much money I spend just to be able to have somebody call me when I want to be called or if I need help? Help! What are we supposed to do when it don't work? What are we supposed to do, Brother Joe, when it don't work? Hallelujah. What are we supposed to do when there's nothing, with no food on the table, no electricity around? What are we supposed to do? Moan, groan, complain? Hallelujah. Well, that's usually our first reaction. Moaning, groaning, and complaining. Hallelujah. And then we get angry. We get angry at the powers that be. We start talking about the politics and all of the things and the governments of things that are around us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What? I must be talking to the wrong people. You probably don't have any of these problems. Hallelujah. You know, I think about it a lot. The first thing I do when I get off a plane in Africa is to find out whether I'm in touch with anybody. I'm in Africa, what? No service! You know about this, don't you, Ruby? Huh? Hallelujah. Amen. My dependence shouldn't be on this.
Yes. Amen.
My dependence shouldn't be on this. Should be on God.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Do we really believe it? Do we really believe it? Do we understand the quality or the capacity of what it is that God has given us? I don't believe we really believe it. I don't think we really believe it, are able to comprehend it or understand it, do you think? There is something so vast and so awesome and so totally out of my vocabulary to explain about God that is in God for us. And I have the reality of that reality inside of me.
Hey.
It says the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth bodily.
Hey. Bodily.
This is my body. If it dwell bodily, it has to dwell in here. Father, you there somewhere? Hallelujah. And yet I act as though that he's out there somewhere. Oh, what's God's number now? Huh? Hallelujah. Do you know I have the omnipotent power of God in me?
Yeah.
Do you know I have the omnipresent power of God in me?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I'm walking down the street and I see a person and he looks like Brother Joe. I'm walking down the street and I see a person and he looks like Sister Susan or Brother Judge. What's happening? Do you know what's happening? Hallelujah. To you, as a person who has the Spirit of God inside of you, do you know what's happening? You have just minusculely packed into the omnipresence of God.
Hallelujah.
You just kind of, God somehow got through all of that flesh, got through all of that carnality, and for a moment your eyes fastened on somebody, and the thought of somebody else comes. Why? Because God at that moment is looking at that person's heart.
I am. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God at that moment is looking at that person's heart, and he's communicating to you, hallelujah, what he sees. But we're so dull. Well, don't miss it. I am so dull that all I get is a fleeting flash, a fleeting thought, fleeting bit of information. That's all I'm able to hold on to. And you know, sometimes I totally, absolutely ignore it. Push it aside as if it had no relevance, had no importance. Huh? And I have just missed God.
Help us, Lord.
I just missed him. I missed him. Hallelujah. I missed anything in, but that he was wanting to share with me. What if I had stopped? And I took a moment and I began to meditate. Stop my business. Stop my car. Pull over to the side of the street. Get off the phone. Oh, yeah. Get off the phone.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You know, we use them too much. Huh? Yeah. Something happens here. It's not omnipresence. It's electronics. Emails go out. Text messages go out. Pictures go out. Everything goes out. Hallelujah. And the devil's more in tune with what's happening in your life. Hello? Do you know something? God showed me something about the devil's network. You see, the devil is not omnipresent.
Yes.
Did you ever think about it?
Yes.
The devil needs a network. The devil needs a network. Hallelujah. You know what amazes me? Is I'm in Uganda, Kampala. My wife is in Mahomet, Illinois. I am probably 10,000 miles away from her. Hallelujah. Huh? 10,000 long miles. I just text a little Fessy saying, hello, how are you? God bless you, love you. Bert. Instantaneous. I got a message back.
Hi.
Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Instantaneous. This is child's play.
That's right.
This is child's play. I don't know how they do it, Brother Andy. I don't understand the mechanics of it. It's beyond me. But it's a spiritual principle.
That's right.
And the devil uses it. The devil has to use it. I was in Ethiopia, the land of the chanters. Certain times of the day, they open up and they begin their loudspeakers. I think it's like 10, 2, and 4, and 3, and 5, and 7, and 6, and all of the above. Hallelujah. And Brother Thomas and I were laying in bed one night, and all of a sudden, the chanter gets up there, and he starts doing this staccato chanting. Have you ever heard it? Huh? And all of a sudden, Brother Thomas says to me, you know, that sounds almost like Morse code. If you could speed it up into such a frequency, it would be almost like, you know. And it, all of a sudden it comes to me. Devil's network. Devil is sending out his instructions. Hallelujah. And there are people on the other side who are getting it in their spirit. Or in their soul. They're understanding. They're comprehending. And they're getting their business ready for that day. Hallelujah. And we're asleep. Oh yes, we're asleep. God wakes us up and we start grumbling. Oh my God, I'm awake. God wakes you up at 1 o'clock in the morning. Hallelujah. And you complain. Huh? And then somebody asks you the next day, well, how was your night? Oh, it was so terrible. Oh, I didn't get any sleep. Oh, I'm so tired. I'm so worn out. I'm so absolutely run down. I didn't get no sleep last night. Of course, you don't do that. I do that. Huh? When God was wanting you to pray, you may not be aware of the Spirit had just walked through your
vicinity.
He just walked through your house. He just deposited a thought in the subconsciousness of your children. Hallelujah. Or he set up mechanics for that day and the place of you stumbling and stubbing your toe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, the devil is more omnipresent than the omnipresence that we have in us, in the aspect of his network that he has established in the world today. You know, the devil don't even have to go to get the information anymore. He just has to dial up Facebook. I'm not going to ask you to show your hands. But I imagine that many of you are on Facebook, our link, our some of those other things. Oh, yeah, and some of you do it for business reasons. For whatever reason you do it, you're hooked in to the devil's network. And he's reading your page. Reading your page. Oh, yes, reading your page. Reading all about the things you did and how unhappy you are and what this person did and what this happened over here and what happened over there. And he says, oh, good, my plan is working.
Yeah.
And so he calls up one of his henchmen and says, you know this person over here, they're saying that what you did is affected. Push it out the other button now. Hello? How do you think the devil gets his information?
Oh God.
Yes. Hallelujah. I had a dream. I heard those words somewhere. You got it, huh? I had a dream. Oh boy. Well, let us just suffice it to say. Now, the devil is very busy. Very, very, very busy. Very, very, very busy. Hallelujah. Collecting your data.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
Hello?
Yes.
The devil is no sluggard. He's no slacker. And he doesn't have to sleep.
No.
He doesn't have to sleep. Do you know there are spirits that walk? They follow the darkness?
Okay.
Yes.
Huh? They follow the darkness. They are so wicked they can't even stand natural daylight. They have to maintain in darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I had a vision one time. I had an experience. God took me and put me right into the devil's council room, his war room. He took me out and put me right into this war room. And all around the table are devils, angels, I call them hell angelic angels. Huh? And as well as men and women. You've heard these out-of-body experiences?
Yes.
Do you know that when the devil comes, they come, calls, they come?
They come.
Just like that, they come. And I saw them appearing, appearing around the table. All of these files, all of these dossiers, all of these things pertaining to governments, countries, people in power and places and things, all the information. And they open the file and it has everything there you could possibly think of that pertains to them. The color of their hair, the color of their eyes, what they like, what they don't like, what they wear, what they don't wear, the things that bother them, and all of those attributes. Everything is right there. And they're sitting there discussing what it is that they're going to do with this government and that government and that government. And these things are going on all the time. All the time. Hallelujah. And they formulate their plans. And there is another pile. There was another pile right over there at the corner. And they were kind of saving it for the last. You know, you save the best for last. And that pile was on those people who have heard about the sons of God. Hallelujah. They were, you're special. You've got your own pile. You got your own particular place. And they begin to discuss this, and there was something of an alarm in them, and that they were, as they were looking at the files on some of these different people, the pages were the writing on the pages was being obliterated. It was being obliterated. Some of it faster than others. Some of it wasn't being obliterated for some people. But you could see the line. I could see the lines being erased, so to speak. Erased, so to speak. Erased, so to speak. They put those people as a priority. Now, I didn't see a file with my name on it. Hallelujah. But they put those people as a priority. The devil said, we have to stop these people.
My God.
We have to stop them. Hallelujah. We have to stop them. So they were taking those files, passing them around. And I don't know if you ever had one of these encounter sessions. You know, where you shoot at ideas and somebody comes back with another idea and you do this back and forth until you come up with an idea. Oh, that'll work! Praise the Lord. Well, that's what they were doing. They were looking and examining what was left in the dossier, and they were determining what it was they could do to stop this thing from happening. Because they knew if they stopped these people, they would affect the rest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Had everything about you in there. About me. Everything about me that could be possibly put in there was in that file. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
No amens, huh? You don't really mean that, really, do you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to go here into Matthew 24. And I want to read to you from the 21st. For then shall be, 21st verse, for then shall be great tribulation.
Yeah.
Such as has not been since the beginning of the world to this time, nor never shall be again. Now, I don't know. Maybe you think it's 30 years down the road. But even if you thought it was 30 years down the road, what are you doing about it? Do you really believe it? Do you believe it? I don't think we have 30 years.
That's right.
I don't know that we have 3 years. Hallelujah. I look at the demographics of population. Mm-hmm. It's frightening.
Mm-hmm.
It's frightening. The Lord spoke to me, and one of the reasons why I can continue to mention that is because of what the Lord spoke to me one day when I was thinking about the end time. He said to me, did you ever consider that at the time of Noah there were only 8 souls? I said to God, would I be one of the 8? I don't know if you talk to God like that. I talk to him like that all the time. I said, God, would I be one of the 8? You know what he said to me? Not under the current conditions. That didn't really make me too happy. But I appreciated it because it did something for me. Did you hear me? Not under the current situations. That means there was something about me that needed to change. There's something, I had to take a good hard look at myself. I had to ask God, reveal to me what it is that would disqualify me in the aspect that I would not be one of the 8. When you read it and you think about it, do you automatically assume that you are one of the 8? Of course you do. Of course you do. Of course you do. Hallelujah. You just automatically assume it. I did. I thought the answer would come back, yes, of course. You're absolutely there. Look what you're doing. Look how much you're doing. And look at all the things that you are doing. And God says, not under the current situation. Not under the current set of circumstances. You have to change something about you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We used to sing a song, until the appointed time. I am going to wait for my change to come. That doesn't mean you sit there on a chair, twiddling your thumbs, waiting for that change to happen. Oh, I'm waiting for my change. Oh, I'm going to change one day. Yes, I'm going to change. Oh, yes, Lord, I'm changing. Oh, we sing the song, he's changing me. Huh? My blessed Savior, I'm not the same old fellow that I used to be. And I am. I am. I'm the same. I'm the same as Bill. I am the same position of a relationship. I'm an American. I got a U.S. passport. I have a family. Huh? That is oftentimes put over and above God. Hallelujah. There are some rough things that God has put me into to deliver me. When he told me, not under the current condition, I said, God, change me.
Amen.
I want to be changed. I do not want to miss the opportunity. I do not want to miss the challenge. I do not want to miss it. There is nothing here in this world that is comparable to what it is that you would have for me. Change me! Hallelujah. 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 And you know, God takes you at your word if you're really sincere. When I first came back to God early on in my 20s, hallelujah, I had several deficiencies. I had certain maladies that I was involved with in the world. I was tied up, and I was infected, and I was possessed with certain things that were not righteous. And when God filled me with His Holy Spirit, you know, those things just didn't dissipate. They just didn't disappear. They just didn't get ripped out of me. They were still there, and they still were manifesting. But the difference was something in my soul began to cry out to God to be delivered.
Hallelujah.
Something in my soul began to cry out, God, deliver me. Hallelujah. One day I came to the conclusion. I said, God, if you cannot deliver me, kill me. Did you hear me? And I meant it. Come on. I meant it. It wasn't some religious rhetoric. It wasn't some sort of spiritual exercise. I did not want to live in that condition any longer. I did not want to live under that oppression any longer. I didn't want to be channeled by my desires, channeled by my mind, channeled by my emotions into sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I did not want to say, God, you must deliver me. You must deliver me. If you cannot deliver me, kill me. Hallelujah. You know what God did? He must have known that I meant it. Because He came into the room, knocked me down on my face. And I said, oh my God, He's going to kill me. Oh yes, you would have said, oh yes, I'm ready, Lord, I'm dying. Not me. I said, oh God, I don't want to die. Hallelujah. But God did something for me in that condition.
Amen.
God did something for me in that position.
Oh God.
God did something for me when I was there down on my face. Hallelujah. I don't know how long I was there. 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. I do not know. All I know is that when I got up off the floor, I was a new man.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that experience taught me something. If I want to grow in God, I have to come to the same place every time in repentance and humbling and inquiring of God to move in my life in like manner.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I have to come to that position. I have to come to that place. Huh. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you something. I have been there many times. And I have yet to come there again. Do you hear me? Because I have not completed my course. I have not come to the fulfillment of the promise that God has spoke to me. And I know that to come there is a matter of great tribulation.
Lord Jesus.
But it's not the tribulation that is talking about here that is going to be in the world. The great tribulation for me is the position of the metamorphic process that is going on in my soul.
Hallelujah.
And the exchanging of the nature of what I am for the nature that has been impregnated within my being.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And if you say to God, I want to have nothing between you and me. Hallelujah. You know that's what it meant when John and James came to him, want to sit on your left side, want to sit on your right side. God, he was saying, I want nothing in between us. And so when God begins to strip you, he strips you of your money, he strips you of your security, he strips you of your nationality, he strips you of your pride, he strips you of everything. Hallelujah. We look at the three Hebrew children who got thrown into the fire. Oh, well, that's us. We want to be there with that Son of Man. But I'm telling you something. That fire that burned those ropes, that's you. That's your position of prestige of who you are and what you are and what other people look at you as.
Yes, hallelujah.
When the hammer came down on Jesus Christ himself, hallelujah, everyone deserted him. One man in the midst of all that cursed him. Hallelujah. Why do you think that it will be different with you and I? Why do you think that it will be more pleasant for us as individuals and believers when we have the example being made conformable unto his death? We want the resurrection, sister, but we don't want the death. We want the resurrection. We want the glory. We don't want the pain, the suffering, and all of the insecurities and all of the things that come with it. We don't want the rejection. Don't want the ruin of our reputation. Huh? Let them step on your national toes. You know, you all have a cross to bear. I'm talking to you as Nigerians. I've been involved with Nigerians for a very long time. You have a cross to bear. It's not your cross. It's not your making. But it's your cross. Uh-huh. Oh, yes. It's your cross. And you know, the attitude towards you is not a good attitude. Just travel to various countries and try to find out how well they treat you. Huh? At the border. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't have a good reputation as a nation of people.
That's right.
Hello? And yet you're very proud of who you are. Very proud. And some of you are getting a little irritated with me even now.
Oh, Jesus.
But if you want to be a son, God's got to touch it. God's got to touch it. He's got to touch it. He doesn't only have to touch it, he has to rip it open. Hallelujah. Because as long as you maintain your individuality out of the country in which you were born and in the family in which birthed you, hallelujah, you cannot be a son of God.
Amen.
You cannot be a son of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You must be divested. Hallelujah. You must be divested. You must be stripped. Do you know that's why they stripped Christ? What was the point of stripping him naked? What was the point? Hallelujah. My God. Hallelujah. It was to demonstrate the reality of the spiritual cost.
Hallelujah.
The spiritual cost. The spiritual cost. Hallelujah. That is required of you and I. No man goes to build a house unless he first considers the cost. You are out of place. You are out of the position of maturity that you have never been before. Did you hear? You are at a place of maturity, but you are also at a place of decision. And what you decide is not going to be what with what you say. It's going to be with what you do.
Yes.
And how you handle it in the doing of it.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah!
Amen.
I am telling you by the Spirit of God that you being in this meeting is going to either have a plus effect or a negative effect.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You come because God brought you. You are here today by divine appointment.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And you will not hear what you are hearing in the way that you are hearing it. Not by the words that I'm speaking, but by the Spirit of God that is speaking to your heart.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If we desire to keep our religious position of sanctimony and organizational of God, organizing God, if we keep him, we will be the losers.
That's right.
The losers! Hallelujah. Far as I am concerned, hallelujah. Hallelujah. If God would take me out in the bush, miles from anybody, and to preach to one person.
Hallelujah.
God orchestrated that meeting. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? God orchestrated that meeting. We are at an orchestrated meeting of God. Hallelujah. I am not here because I want to be here. I am here because God brought me here to tell you. Hallelujah. To confront you and me. Because I have to walk what I preach.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You know, I get accused of a lot of things. I get accused of not loving family. I get accused of not loving house and home. I get accused of not loving my country. I get accused of this. I get accused of that. And it's not anything to do with that. Hello? I have to do what I have to do with God in order to save my family.
That's right.
Amen.
I am willing to be the offering for my family.
Amen.
Do you hear me? I'm willing to be the offering for my family. Hallelujah. I'm getting ready to go on a trip. Hallelujah. It's 9 o'clock at night. I'm due to leave at 4 o'clock in the morning. One of my sons calls me up. And he says, Dad, I'm being arrested. I said, what do you mean, arrested? He says, as is in jail. I said, good God, what in the world are you doing? What are you doing? I don't know about you. I don't know what your thoughts are, but I can almost imagine you would do anything and everything. You would be down there in a split second, right? Wherever he was, you would be there if your daughter called you in that way, or your son. You would be there. I did not have that privilege. Did you hear me? I did not have that privilege. Why? Because I had asked God to do something in my soul. I asked God to do something, and he was taking out of me that natural position of servitude and bondage to a natural position of relationship. Hallelujah. I had to tell him, son, I'm very sorry, but I have a plane to catch. God bless you. I will pray for you. Seems a little contrite and frivolous, doesn't it? But I want to tell you, there was nothing about it that was frivolous. Hallelujah. Because I had asked God to do something for me.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. I had asked God to do something for them. Hallelujah. And it's just not a one-time thing. It's something that continually happens over and over and over and over and over again. Can I trust God in the aspect that when it says that I am the priest of my family, and then when I go in before God in obedience to do what he has asked me to do, do I believe that he will do what I ask him to do concerning my family?
No.
Hello?
No.
Hallelujah. No. Hallelujah. Many years ago, the Lord told me, says, if you will do what I've asked you to do, he says, I will do for your family what you cannot do.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So it's not as though I'm out there running, globe-trotting around the world and my family is going to hell. Hallelujah. But I'm doing the business of God and God is doing the business for my family.
Yeah. Praise God.
I can trust Him. And you know something? Do I believe in eternity? Do I believe in the reality of it? As much as I love my children, as much as I love them, I tell you, I love them, I love them. I love my grandchildren. I love them. But then I believe in the reality and the love of God as well as in eternity more than I love them. Can I believe that? Huh? So that when God touches the flesh, huh? I do not respond in a negative manner. I do not respond in a negative way. And don't tell me God won't touch them, because God will touch them. It is the will and the plan and the will of God. Are you different than Job? You know, Job was the forerunner.
That's right.
Of the sons of God. Did you know that?
Yes.
Amen.
He was the forerunner.
Oh, yes, he was.
Of the sons of God. Hallelujah. He was the forerunner of the sons of God. Do you believe in the reality of eternity with regards to your family? Hallelujah. It's a question you need to ask yourself. And it's a question you need to determine and settle as far as God is concerned. Because you will not go any farther if those things are a hindrance and a blockage to you and the advancement and the development of God inside of you. And it's vice versa. How about you children? Do you believe in the reality of eternity as far as your parents are concerned? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a pertinent question. When the Bible, I'm telling you, brethren, there is something that God is requiring of us in the actuality of really believing in the entity of who and what He is. What was that definition you gave of wisdom and knowledge and understanding? Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, you look at the wisdom in Proverbs. It's an entity. It's a personality. It's a personage.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do we believe it? They that come to God must believe that He is.
Yeah.
He is His present. His present, past, and future.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. It's the totality, the completeness of the position of relationship that we are supposed to have with God. Do we believe Him? Our tribulation isn't the same, or should not be the same, hallelujah, as out there in the world, because they are not suffering for the sake of a golden altar offering experience. Hello? Hallelujah. They're not suffering for the sake of sin. Hallelujah. Jesus, when He approached the altar, the golden altar, and before He went into the holy, had to be a righteous offering.
Right.
Hallelujah. Two places. Altar of sin, altar of soul.
Right.
Hallelujah. Right. The altar of sin is a corrupted offering that is sanctified by the fire and the blood of Jesus Christ. But the soul is one that has been and is working to the position of total perfection. Total and absolute goodness and righteousness and holiness.
Amen.
The divesting of ourselves of all of those things.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah. My God. My God. Says great tribulation,
right.
Such has not been since the beginning of the world and time. You can look at it in the negative, look at it out there as a sin thing, but it's not just a sin thing. It is something that pertains to you and I as sons of God, or potential sons of God. We're not sons of God yet. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but this we know. Hallelujah. Why? What shall we know? That we shall be like Him. What?
When we see Him.
As He is. How are you going to see Him?
I'm purifying.
You're going to see Him in Him. And He's going to see it in you. You're going to see it in you. And see it in you. and see it in you, and see it in you, and see it in you, and see it in you. Hallelujah. When I look the mirror, what is the mirror that I'm looking into? It's not the mirror that is a mirror, mirror, mirror. It's a mirror that reflects the humanity of my soul. Hallelujah. And I say, God, deliver me.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor shall ever be. Why? Because we will have completed the job. The job will be done. Did you hear me? The job will be done. What is the sense of having more tribulation if the tribulation has done what the tribulation needed to do and you are what you're needed to be? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Brethren,
Jesus,
we are standing on the threshold of God.
Yes.
We are standing not on the threshold of decision. We are standing on the threshold of eternity.
That's right.
That's it.
You have the totality of eternity inside of you. It's inside of you. It's inside of you. Hallelujah. Eternity. The creative power of the I am. It's inside of you. Inside of you. And it says, and God said. How would you like to say, and God said? Oh my God.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Why? What need is there for us to fear?
Hallelujah.
What need is there for us to cower? What need is it for us to be depressed or oppressed or down in the dumps or down in the place of the mulligan? Tough, hard, groan, moan, but don't be depressed or oppressed. Yeah, I hit my toe. I'm jumping around and I'm favoring the toe and I'm saying, oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. I'm in pain. Hallelujah. There's a difference between saying, oh, my poor toe, you poor thing. How come you got so bloody and you're so hurting me so much? How could you do that to me? There's a difference. It's a difference. It's a difference. You have the fullness of the Godhead dwelling bodily. That's not Bert's rendition. That is biblical fact. The fullness of the Godhead dwelling bodily within you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah.